Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What is happening, Kat?
Nothing much. We have a lot to discuss today.
Well, yes, we do. But first, let me give an announcement, perhaps a warning to the viewers who are out there in digital land. First of all, everyone put your hands together for our lovely Kat, who has managed to finish all of her stats work that she has been battling with for months, it seems like, months on end. And so she is just coming back now out of the sort of pseudo-psychological haze that, you know, math statistics is just is kurtosis of the brain. She's just trying to dig out of that right now. So we're going to ease her back into the podcast. We're going to welcome her back with open arms. She's feeling a little shaky. She's coming out like, you know, a newborn baby doe. Her legs a little bit shaky. But listen, we're going to bring her back. She's coming back now. So come on, Kat. We're doing this.
Oh, thank you so much.
Congratulations.
You know exactly how I feel right now.
She's free, y'all. She's free.
Oh, my God. It's been such a hard time. But, yeah, we're back in it. We're going to talk about sci-fi. If you've been reading my tweets and stuff, I've been grumpy. But that's over now. Mm. That's over now. She's the whiny girl, she's gone. And you know what was that?
I was trying to agree with you, but you know, it's just out of the gate, so it's yet to be seen.
Okay, all right. I see how this is right now. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Defiance and Dominion, and both of these are sci-fi original shows. And, you know, we really want to get in there and not discuss them after the whole season has gone by. We want to get in there and go episode by episode. But, you know, we have three to talk about today.
Starting early.
Yeah. So, you know, we're getting there. Yes. We got sound effects.
I told you, I am a very important person. And apparently, we got a Dwight who is messing with me on Twitter. So I'm shutting off my devices. I'm turning off my devices now.
Just Dwight who said. Yeah, okay. Hey, it's Dwight who. Thanks for listening to Sci-Fi Party Line. I know you listen all the time. Okay, anyway. So we're going to start with Defiance.
Aren't we? I thought we were going to start with Dominion.
You want to start with Dominion? You want to go funny first, don't you?
I think we should start with Dominion.
All right. Dominion. Okay, so this is a sci-fi original based on the epic film from, I think, 2010, Legion, which started our fine sci-fi action hero, Paul Bettany, who is also did a fine performance in Priest.
Now, I don't see why you would say that this is based on Legion. Because from the elements that we've seen, we could say it was based on, certain aspects.
No. They literally said this is based on Legion.
Legion?
This is based on Legion, the film.
Oh, that's a...
That's a thing.
That's a fertile ground to begin with.
Yeah, fertile. You're so generous. You're super generous.
Much like an action sequence set on a train, it's like you don't know where
Priest.
It's going.
That was Priest.
You don't know. Oh yeah, that's it.
That the Legion was the angels, and they were in the diner for the whole film, out in the middle of the desert, and there was a pregnant lady.
Oh yeah,
remember Legion?
Yes.
And Dennis Quaid was in it.
Oh yeah, it's coming back to me. It's all
and they had like grandma on the ceiling walking around and her head turned backwards.
Spider guy with the long jaw.
Yeah, that thing. So it was literally, and I'm not being funny, based on Dominion. It's based on that fine film.
Well, if you go onto IMDb, Legion had out of 10. had a 5.1. So right now, you know you're starting from some good, solid source material here that you can only go up from with Legion as your core.
Yeah. So, Legion.
And Priest. And it feels like Priest, too.
It does. They were kind of similar in that.
Yeah.
We're struggling. Okay, so Carl, sorry. This one's my fault.
What? Listen. Now, before you start trying to take blame this is our job. You see, we're out there experiencing the new sci-fi fantasy that comes out there. It is our job to experience what comes down there and let folks know, hey, this is something you want to watch. Or, you know, this may not be something that you want to watch. We are at the crucible. We're at the forge. Right at the razor's edge here. Because people are waiting. They want to know, all right, is this something really I need to be watching or not? So you don't have to say, Carl is making me watch. Or I don't have to say, Kat made me watch. That's not what this is about. You see,
that's what I've been trying to preach to you, but you got mad at me for making you watch Lockout.
That was really
And then you refused to watch Frankenstein.
Oh, that's okay. Because you know what? I'm gonna watch it. But see the idea is we're supposed to be picking popular things that people may have likely watched, not stuff that nobody else in the planet Earth.
No. People watch Lockout. No one watched Branded.
Nah, I don't think. Okay? Sure about
okay,
that.
I just
we're same just, audience. The same audience. It's, a, it's the same.
We're not having this discussion. Okay,
we're watching.
There's a lot of tension right now.
We are doing this.
A lot of tension because we're trying to prepare you.
Yes.
For this review that's going to happen with Dominion. What's now,
We live tweeted.
Yeah, we sure did.
Together, because we were open and we wanted to see what this was going from the previews and all the interstitial graphics, folks. Let me tell you, Sci-Fi Channel is a master of the interstitial. You can when you see previews of shows that are coming on, you see the brooding still and the wings are flying out the flames and the intense looks. I mean, it is you are like, man, this show I have got to see. What it is they're going to do, even better, watch the stills. Go to the website. The stuff that they put up on the website, everything has got the certain mood to it. And your expectation is all of you like, all right, I know this is sci-fi, but I'm going to give this a shot anyway. I'm ready. And then the show comes on.
You know what it's like? Like when you watch a commercial for like McDonald's or Burger King and they have that big burger and it looks juicy and really good, but like you go to one of these places and it's the saddest thing that you've ever seen.
You open up that box and it's sort of
it's
like
just
that
like what lamp. Is this?
It's a flaccid burger. Yeah. The bun's not even lined
it's
up.
Flaccid, kinda, like yeah, kinda, it's just kinda soggy. The lettuce is just the lettuce. Even if they have lettuce, it's all wilted. Okay, so we're dancing around saying that this kind of sucks. I'm just gonna come out and say now. And that's too easy for Dominion because it deserves an analytical approach. And I'm going to start with,
go ahead.
I did not quite understand any of it because they had so many characters, so many sets. They were trying so hard to make it really epic, and there was a lot of things going on, but none of it made sense together. I don't remember the characters. They look all the same. I keep confusing the women with each other, and the dudes look the same, or if they're not, they're like becoming a different type of actor with a different vibe in the next scene. And then we're in Las Vegas, but it's like the Las Vegas from Resident Evil, but it's not quite dirty enough or post-apocalyptic enough. And I don't get it. And I don't understand why this show is happening, honestly.
Yeah, you are correct. You are correct. I don't know where to start. Sci-fi has this habit of coming up with like this kitchen sink sci-fi, you know, where you watch it and it's like it is clearly like 9 different shows you've seen before, just all glommed together. And how do you put this? There are certain actors in our sci-fi community that, and I'm not going to say they're typecast, it's just that you keep seeing them in a lot of different shows that we as sci-fi fantasy fans enjoy, right? Mm. So, and we want these stars to be successful. We want them to go on and do other things and, you know, and to continue. But when you put them in a show and their characters are very similar to the last 2 or 3 shows that they've been in, it's not just typecasting. It's you are not giving us a chance to experience who their new characters are supposed to be. So they just kind of merge into. So you got a bunch of characters, like you said, they all kind of look like somebody else we've seen before. And some of them physically look like other celebrities, which is really bizarre. You're watching this and you're like, wait a minute, the star kind of looks like Anthony Michael Hall mixed with Matt Damon, you know, you're going on. Like William is like the guy from Ugly Betty. It's just like you just keep watching.
The guy from Pacific Rim.
You're trying to get to know the characters in the show, even though they're like 15, 20 of them. And then they're mixing in with the characters you've seen them as in the past. So the folks that are new look like somebody you haven't seen. The folks you've seen before were in other things and their characters are very similar to that. Then, okay, so you're trying to juggle all of that. You see that they're trying to do something big with the sets and the costuming and the environment that they're creating here, right? So you're accepting, okay, so it's Legion, it's you know, it's all of that, but you're not getting, and you know, here we go with the consistency again. You know about me, if you're going to create a world, you got to make stuff kind of fit together. So just especially if you're new, if it's a brand new universe, it's a new world, you want stuff to kind of make sense. It's got to hang together. So we got angels and post-apocalyptic Vegas. We got nuclear reactors. We got some kind of strange king hierarchy. Then you got, you know, who are the people and who are the angels? And oh, there's a militant law going on around there, kind of like you know, what's our one with Christian Bale, Christian Bale and what's his name with the
Equilibrium.
It's got the sort of stratification of society going on with Equilibrium, all of this stuff, and you're trying to hang on to these elements. And I tried to figure out, because okay, if you look at something like Game of Thrones, or you look at that, come on now. They are complex stories. They got 8 billion people in it. Yet somehow they're able to string it together in a way where not only do you care about the people, but it slowly builds the world that they've inhabited in a way that makes sense, right? I'm watching board meetings and, you know, people running around the desert. There's fights and complaints about the reactor. I'm trying to put all this stuff together.
There's crazy nuns from, like, they're sexy though, and I'm like, well, is this kind of like Caprica anger because the show got canceled, so you're trying to throw some of that in? And where is this actual market that they're shopping in? Because I don't.
So all this time you're trying to build and trying to hang with these guys here, and Dominion is just kind of taking you in all these different directions. And right about the time you think you got something, it'll hook off in another direction, but not in a gentle way. You'll wake up in a barracks for some reason. You're like, why am I in a military barracks? We were in like a throne room a second ago, and then we. And so I'm trying to hold all this stuff together. Now, okay, so there is the whole, you know, is the one going to show up? Now, who is the one going to be? Now, was anyone genuinely surprised? Look, if y'all don't believe me, you can check the timestamp on the tweet. I'm like, gee, I wonder who the chosen one is going to be. Now, granted, They threw a child in just to confuse you, who we have never seen again since that first episode. They threw a little kid in who was like the spoon bender from The Matrix, just to try to make us think that, oh, he's just the guardian of the kid. No, ain't nobody believing. All you had to do was watch the previews. Ain't never seen that kid again. So, okay, so yeah, we know he's gonna be the chosen one, and oh, the princess, because we don't know exactly what you want to call it, but you know, the leader's daughter doesn't want
to spoiled princess. That's what she called herself.
It's a spoiled princess.
Him, he called her. Wow.
You know, she wants a guy from the bad side of the tracks. You know. Somebody who's unruly and unkempt and is kind of scruffy looking. You know, I want that Michael Hall, Matt Damon look. That's what I want. And Dad doesn't approve. Oh, he's just a lowly whatever. So it's so transparent where the thread that you're following here. Okay, so we got all this stuff going on. You know, the angels dropping out of the sky and people jumping around and bar fights and in the desert. And then you're going to put this plot in as the core, which is it's so ragingly predictable. So now we're following them. We're trying to figure out what's going on. And now we're in the barracks with what's the crew from Aliens going on?
It felt a little BSG to me, but whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. The costuming was BSG. The motivation and the mood was Aliens. It was, oh, we're gonna go back out there, and you're one of us. You're not one of them, and we're just a. And then came the Super Angel costume.
The motorbike angel. That is kind of looking like what Mantis, but.
There was soldiers from Pitch Black, but not Pitch Black. But what was the second one? It was the soldiers.
Wow, we suck because like people are yelling it right.
I know they're yelling it.
Yeah, that thing.
So we got the soldiers, but they were wearing Magneto's helmet.
Yeah.
So they had Magneto's helmet on. They were all spray painted in red, and they had the wings. And the descending effect when they are dropping, the Riddick outfit, and when they were coming down out of the sky to begin their battle, the effect of that perhaps was not as dramatic as it should have been.
That's really the words you want to say about that? I mean, that is extremely generous of you.
I'm just trying because
you want to go on record with that. It looks stupid.
They're supposed to be the really bad, the warrior angels. And, you know, when they show up on the scene, they're frightening and terrifying. And they are really bringing down the arc pain. No. And these guys just kind of floated down a little bit slow, you know, and then they took the beat. And some guy comes at him with a sword. Angels, they got swords. And
it was like on the leftover set of like Titus at one point. And I don't understand it.
We're watching the show, and again, the character development not really pulling us in with the multiple arcs they got going on. Right now, I suppose we are drawn in with the story of what's going to happen with Alex Lannon. Okay, so that's
you're
the
drawn
chosen
in,
one.
Huh?
He's the chosen one, and he's inherited the angel, this archangel mojo from his father or something, yeah,
in the form of moving tattoos.
Moving tattoos. He's got his barbed wire tattoos on him. Now, this tell him to trust nobody. Don't tell anybody what you can read. He is keen to the corruption in the leadership, which you need an angel tattoo to know that there's corruption going on the higher levels. It's clear that's what's going on. So I'm waiting for him to unleash his warrior madness, because so far even that scene. Where he sets the angel girl on fire and kicks her out the window. Even that didn't seem like he had superpowers, a super authority or anything. Really, he wasn't winning that for a long time. And I didn't feel like he summoned anything to say, oh, I am the chosen one. I didn't see anything. Really, it just looked like he kind of set her on fire with the gas stove and then pushed her out of a window, which yeah. I'm not sure that requires the one to do. So all of this, I'm just trying to find a thread here to get in to really say, yeah, this is exciting. Dominion is making a world that I'm excited about being a part of. I want to learn more about these particular characters. What's going on is not just not contiguous minutes of dialogue, which feel like a soap opera, but people that I don't know, and they're not bringing in any of the intrigue or the scandal that would make me excited about it even being on a soap opera level. So they've got the soap opera exposition, but about people that we don't know, about stuff we're not that interested in. They haven't sufficiently developed the world that all this stuff is going on in. And then the pieces, the glimpses of that world that we see don't fit together right. Why do they need a nuclear reactor in the middle of Las Vegas? Why would you build a reactor right in the middle of Las Vegas? You're in a desert.
Don't they need that for, like, power?
Right, but from what I understand, nuclear power plants can be dangerous. If you're building it and you're already in a desert, why don't you just put it a little off to the side? You can run a couple of wires, and you might be all right. Especially if it's a place that's routinely attacked by angry angels that can be fought off with machine guns, apparently.
Vampire demon things and angels, because they have something like when you die, they're not exactly zombies, but they like become demons and gross, and they're hard to kill. So we and the set and the location of this show, I see how it could be compelling, but they're just not pulling it together. Like, one family's in Caesar Palace.
Yeah, literally.
One family is in the Luxor. Yeah. And then, like, all I'm waiting for is, like, who the hell is in Circus Circus? I really want to know, because
no one associates with the Circus folks. I'm going to just tell you.
Like, who has, like, the other...
I want to meet the Aria family. Who's in the Aria? That's gold plated, blown out right there. That is just classic.
And like, what's going on? Like, why is it in Las? Why does it need to be in Las Vegas? Why?
Here's the other thing. What's with the post apocalyptic cities we know? Okay, so now we've done the fallen New York.
Yeah.
Fallen DC.
Yeah.
Fallen St. Louis.
Yeah. And now LA at one point, or probably. Atlanta. We've had Atlanta.
Atlanta. So now we're running out of stuff to throw crap on, so you know where it is. It's like, well, it's Vegas, but we got to throw crap on it. It's St. Louis, but we got to throw crap on it.
It still looks too clean, and I don't understand. Like, if we're in post-apocalyptic, the second or third episode, they went out to this really weird, bizarre, freaking shopping mall marked place, and they have all these clean, crisp clothes with brand new fashionable sandals and stuff, and I'm just like, what's happening here? I don't understand. Not only that, there was a really big craziness in the middle of the third episode that I'm not sure you were invested in to pay attention to, or maybe I was hallucinating, or I'm not sure what happened, but if memory serves me correctly, Claire left with Alex on the road in the desert.
And then all of a sudden, she was gone, right? Okay, maybe. I thought maybe I had blacked out at some point, because it's hard for me to focus now when I'm watching this show. And you're right, it was like, all of a sudden, they're having a fight. You know, they're complaining about each other. Well, no, actually, they were kind of holding hands. They're like, yeah, everything will be swell. Things will be great. And then he sees like a dead family on the side of the road, and then he goes back to the car, and then the angel gets in the way, which he didn't bother to run down. I don't understand why he stops and pulls around the angel, because, you know, but anyway, then he gets out of the car. Did the angel send her home, or
what? No. She was gone before the angel showed up, because he drove. They got the family. He like, don't let my wife, blah, blah.
Oh, she's fine, man. She's fine.
Yeah,
and he pulls the gun.
Trigger, and she's gone. And then he's driving on the road. And then comes Michael swooping down, and she's just gone. Then she's like shopping. And like with the other guy.
Now, what? Maybe we're confusing her with another woman, because they do kind of blurred again. But it still does not explain how she managed to simply disappear. Maybe was that supposed to be a flashback? Because, you know, later on, he does sort of see his dad on the wall.
His name is Jeep, right?
Yeah, Scruffy Beard. That's right. Yes, Jeep. Right. Yes.
Because
the angel took him back there before making him go back home. He said,
no,
you've got
I'm
to
asking keep... you. No, Carl. I'm not asking you about the story. Oh. I'm asking why his name is Jeep. You don't have an answer for that.
I'm sure that is going to come out at a critical point that is all going to make sense. Because that, you see, what's going to happen is all this stuff that we're nitpicking about right now, all these loose ends are going to congeal and lock together like a super tight puzzle piece, and we're going to look like fools. Because this is all a very well thought out story, right? And they are just sprinkling little pieces that are all going to lock together, and it's going to make total sense with a super crescendo season finale. And then everybody's going to be saying, you should have watched it, because Dominion's off the chain, man. That is the show. And we're going to be like, oh, boo-boo the fool. That's what we're going to be. That's what we're going to be. So all we're saying right now, because I know it just sounds crazy and we're not being fair at all. So all what we are just saying right now, the pieces that we have been able to scrap together from the first three episodes, and it's gonna all make sense. It's gonna come together, and this stuff is gonna flow together in one coherent crescendo. And that's what's gonna happen. So that's what we're doing.
And see, this is why I like to talk to you, Carl, because you're just the most positive person
I've ever met. You just have
so much hope. I'm putting your soul about TV shows that it is unmatched by.
Well, okay, two and a half. I may have blacked out. Two and a half episodes in.
Texted you, in which you did not respond to, that Dominion was kind of making me hurt. So I was going to request that, or maybe suggest that we don't watch it anymore, because I don't know if I can handle it, because after the disappearance of Claire, I don't know what's happening anymore.
Okay, so I'm going to say this.
No!
I'm going to say this. Perhaps we should give it a little time.
Oh, Carl.
Let's give it a little time. Let's step away. We're going to step away from Dominion for a while, and then we're going to let the audience decide. Okay, I think that's fair. I say we give it a couple of weeks, and then ask folks who may.
It's making me unhappy.
Because here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the folks who listen, they care about us. They care about our psychological well-being.
No, they don't. They care. We're almost human.
No. I'm talking about the people that listen to the podcast.
Oh.
I'm saying they care about our psychological well-being, and so they're going to help us out here.
Charles, he doesn't care.
We have done our time on these three episodes, and so if you all want us to try and we're going to give it a couple of weeks, and if you all think that we have been unfair toward Dominion, the things that we have said are just because we have not firmly grasped the epicness that is Dominion, we will try it again. But we are not going to try to.
But it is misusing Anthony Stewart Head. He has a Southern accent and he's British, and I don't understand why. I'm sorry. Whew. Wow.
It's okay.
Spent up.
It is good to see him.
Was
It
spent
is good.
up.
And when I saw that he was going to be,
Spent
I got momentarily excited because I do enjoy him as an actor. But they have kind of they've kind of given him a role where he's pulling together a lot of loose pieces now, and I'm not sure if he's going to be able to sew this tapestry in a way that makes sense. Oh, and something else I would like to ask. Okay, so stay on topic. So we're gonna step away from Dominion, y'all. That's all I gotta say, because it was a little rough. Just trying to make it through these three episodes,
But what,
especially
we're
this last
done?
one. No, listen, I'm trying to finish now. It was a little rough going through these three episodes. So we're gonna step away for a while, implying that we're not gonna be motivated to watch it again. Unless specifically you all tell us that something is really good and is worthy of us coming back. So that's how we're gonna play it. Because I had a little trouble getting back in on episode three. I was wandering off, I was doing stuff, I was coming in and out. I was not looking forward to it. So shouldn't be that hard. Shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah,
So okay, so with that said, here's something else. Because we're about to get into Defiance next. Sci-fi apparently is trying to go hard now.
what does that
Okay, are
mean?
you don't you know have you noticed you're watching the shows and we're seeing naked butts now?
Oh.
We are seeing, do I need to start with the
I
pilot
want to go ahead and
episode?
go with
Yes.
Defiance. Okay, guys.
Did you
So here's the
see?
mark where we're gonna talk about Defiance. Yeah, just go ahead and say it. Sci-fi
So
is going a little hard.
between naked butts and hand jobs in the pilot episode,
Premiere,
sci-fi
yeah.
is doing something now where, and look, not saying I have a problem with all of this, but
You watch Game of Thrones, so.
again, not saying I have a problem with all this, but you see, you can't go hard in one area and then just be flaccid in the other.
Oh
That's all I'm saying.
my
You gotta have a well-rounded freakiness if you want
Wow.
to do that.
What is happening here?
I do not want to see, maybe flat booty going into a pool and then sort of a tacky angel monster slowly descending on cables. That is just, it's just something, you gotta go all hard. You just gotta be a well-rounded wildness. You can't just throw it, because otherwise, it might be perceived as pandering and just throwing something in for shock value. All right?
They play, do they still play wrestling on that channel, Sci-Fi? Because they do
I think.
pander.
So I'm just saying, this is them trying something new. This is a new season,
Hand job.
and then to being bold and new. So this is them coming out the gate, and they're trying to show us that this is a different sci-fi now. They're harder. So if you're gonna be doing that mess, you need to spread it around a little bit.
Oh my God, what is happening?
You can't just shock us with that, and then bore us with the other stuff. So okay, so
Okay.
with that, let us begin.
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
I as was I was not ready for this.
Oh, Defiance. Okay, so Defiance, I am in love with this show, and let me t not just because of the hand jobs. It to me feels like what Dominion wants to be.
What?
Now, to stop, listen. Defiance to me, it was shaky for us the first few episodes, but then to me, it feels like it started to have a soul and a personality, and it started to go somewhere. And the sets make sense, the environments make sense. I am impressed with the costuming. I'm impressed with how the whole world looks, its consistency throughout. I love their language. They definitely use language in their it's kind of on par with Klingonese because I mean you feel like it's just a rich language and they're going out and they have two different languages on the show. I really enjoy that. I don't feel the game in this, like the very last episode of the first season, I felt the game portion of the MMO of the into the show, but like now I just don't. It just feels like a really great story. It's weird. But I don't know. I'm just into the way the story goes with Defiance, and I'm just absolutely in love with it. And I think it's just so I don't know. It's just enjoyable for me to watch. I get sucked in into the environment. It definitely has some issues, the show, but for the most part, it just feels like the actors really bounce off of each other. They really are a team, and I am enjoying the show. I'm
Right.
not sure if you feel that way, according to your outburst
Okay.
there,
Okay. So,
but
all right. So, I agree with you that the environmentals on Defiance are really good. Of all of the shows that sci-fi has shown us the blazing interstitials for, and then the actual show results, Defiance is closest to fulfilling the promise of what they showed us. And then what they delivered. Now, why in the hell they can't do a car driving special effect on Defiance? We got mess falling from the sky, UFOs piloting down, but you put them behind the wheel of the car, and suddenly it's a blue screens and crazy like 1993 computer animation. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Whoever's doing your car effects, you need to get the interns and out of that room and let some real people, because every time they start driving, it gets crazy. But
Maybe it's
other
their
than
style. Maybe it's a thing.
No, I am not accepting that, because it's inconsistent. They all of their other special effects, I'm serious, their UFO shots, the space shots, everything else,
The
switch
first episode
and
battle
pew.
was terrible.
Well, no, that was the, that that that's I'm giving them some slack, because that was their first episode. But ever since then, whenever there's a scene and there's a cutaway to the car driving, what the hell? Why? What? The car, the mat looks all wrong. It's sliding along in the background. It
Car
doesn't,
trouble.
people are oversteering behind the wheel. Everything. That's the only thing, though. I'm serious. All the other effects are dead on. I don't understand why they can't do the car. But anyway,
Drop this man mad.
oh my God. It's just like, here we go. Whenever they get behind the wheel, like, no. Anyway. So yes, the environment is really solid on Defiance. I do like that. The costuming, Top Gear, no doubt. The aliens and the different races, I'm with you. They are good looking. They're unique. When I look at those aliens, they don't really look like things I've seen elsewhere, which is all I'm asking for, folks. You've got the whole universe as your playground. Don't recycle stuff that we've seen 8 billion times before. So they got that going on. That's great. The acting for the first season was a little shaky in some spot, a little bit shaky. Not everybody, was doing it. However, here's the thing about most of the shows that I watch, and here's the thing. They got potential. I am willing to hang with Defiance because I am starting, it's slow, they're taking a little long, but I am starting to see the
Starting.
glimmer of the interaction between the characters that can become something more.
What?
Yes.
They're already there, Carl. I mean, Daytac Tar is just.
I like Daytac. He is my favorite character on the show. He is unique. He's a good actor. I like him. I really do like him. So I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying across the board. I'm saying some people are more interesting, less interesting, and delivery's a little shaky. But he is the most interesting show of character. On. So when the season finale ended and it looked like he was going to be dead, I was a little upset about that. I was really, really a little upset. So fortunately, he is back and he is dangerous and he is causing trouble just like he should be. So that's great.
And he, speaking of him, he was the recipient of the most awkward hand job that I've ever seen, ever.
Seen me?
I'm not saying I've seen a lot of hand jobs. I'm not saying that, Carl.
I mean, if you're a connoisseur, please, if you want to share the history, are you comparing?
Would you stop it?
Yeah, that did not look like a good time for anybody.
Like she's twisting
Stama was there, like, other news that's going on. Daytac is like, come on, let's do this. Let's do this. The guard's coming back. Nothing about that
like
was.
the most painful hand job that ever were. Also, he tried to have the doctor give him one, which was hysterical to me because she was like, "Oh, you want me to check for lumps down there? Okay, you're good." And I was just like, "What
Something tells me that she's not the one you want to go to for an embracing grasp. That is, she just doesn't have the vibe that's just gonna say, yes, good things are going to happen at the end of this. No, not with that doc. No. No. I know he's desperate, but even in prison, I would advise against that. So yes, there are some dynamics that are sparking up. Finally, I don't know what you want to call it, but father son, where Nolan and Arissa, it's starting to feel a little bit more natural. The thing that's going on between those two, it's the father-ish and daughter thing that's going on. I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
Well, yeah, and I think that whatever's happened to her, at the end she had this I guess game sequence where she jumped into a black hole and now she's back. She's different, she's changed, and she hid out for like a really long time with no contact, and Nolan kind of just went from city to city looking for her and ended up finding her, and she was just holed up somewhere not doing what? I mean,
Where was she? She was post-apocalyptic LA, right? Is that where
something.
there was? Yeah,
I
because
don't
it's
know.
always got to be someplace post-apocalyptic. So I believe it was the Capitol Records building with crap thrown on it. So yes, that's post-apocalyptic LA.
Yeah. So, she's come back. She has this angry little girl inside of her that's making her murder people. We don't know why. We don't know what for. She was supposed to be like the chosen one, and something special was supposed to be happening to her. And she's a murderer. Her hair is longer.
Well, okay, so we know what's happened is she has merged with the super entity that was on one of the ships that's in the on the buried underground ship or whatever. So
Oh.
what's happened, the deal that she made at the end of the season finale was, apparently she's got, and I'm doing best I can here, she's got some kind of alien weapon parts in her. And the I don't know if it's a supercomputer or an alien inhabiting one of the big ships, whatever, that's buried. When Nolan had died, she had been trying, Arissa had been trying to get away from that entity and the possession and merging with that computer thing this whole time. But when Nolan died, she realized that the only way to save him was to merge with this computer super entity. To give it whatever it wanted, and if she did that she would be able to bring Nolan back. So she, all this time, the whole first season, she'd been trying to figure out what it was that was in her, what the monster was, why everybody wanted her. Okay, so in order to save Nolan, she merged with this thing, and after killing off a bunch of folks, she realized that she was dangerous, and I assume she ran away because she did not want to hurt people that she cared about. Okay, this makes sense. This is what I'm talking about, consistency. All right, this story makes sense. So she runs away, particularly she didn't want to hurt Nolan,
I'm glad you were pleased.
and the fact that she's kind of creeped out by what's happened to her. She just had to get away. But Nolan's the father figure. He's not going to let his baby girl run loose out there. He's got to get to the truth. He's got to figure out what's going on, and that's why he went on the big road trip. So all that makes sense. That makes sense. I can dig it. I can live with that.
Okay, so well, I'm not sure what doesn't make sense. Well, okay, so the thing with Kenya. She's just gone, and I'm not sure why. I mean, I know she left. She went out to the desert, and what? Did she die?
Oh yes, she's well, as far as we know, she is really, really dead. And you know who killed her, right?
Who killed her?
What's her name? Stama. Stama poisoned her out in the woods.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, so when she comes back, 'cause she's playing her two-faced character. I'm she's definitely in the top three of my favorites on the show too.
So Kenya or Stama?
Stama.
Yeah. So with Kenya missing, we have Amanda. She's now on drugs, kind of like cocaine or
And by the way, Julie Benz, who was from No Ordinary Family,
and Dexter.
who I always appreciated her on No Ordinary Family, has had a wardrobe change that I am approving of.
See, I like it, but I don't like how she was respectable madam mayor and now she's a madam.
Well, she was respectable, Madam Mayor. She was sort of, you could tell she was. She kind of played, let's just say, in order to get her position, she did some things that would not have been entirely respectable in terms of the people she was hanging with and the other stuff. She was trying to maintain the appearance of all of that. But I mean,
Was she
when
trying to
you
say she's a whore at heart? I mean,
no, well, I'm just saying her sister's running the whorehouse in the town. She allowed that to happen. She's letting the business. She's got to let business flow. In her small town, she understands that that was an important part of her little town. And when she lost her job, she went right on in and assumed the position of her
Oh,
sister.
that's rich.
Thank you, thank you.
That's
She put on the
really,
outfit. So Julie is looking great in season two. Let me tell you.
you're just
Let me tell you.
wow.
I was enjoying the costume. But
Yeah.
anyway, so all of the face-to-face looks between Stama and former Mayor Rosewater, Amanda. Stama knows she killed her sister, and
I
Julie's
forgot.
sitting there, and Julie's sitting. I mean, Amanda's sitting there going, "Oh, do you think my sister will ever come back?" And Stama's like, "Oh yeah, we can always hope." So coming up is going to be the epic chick fight between those two.
And we
That's it.
know Amanda can fight because in the third episode, which is called The Cord and the Axe, she kind of went in on a guy who was
Awesome.
like roughing up one of her air quote girls,
She didn't care.
and she just went
I
off.
mean, she was on the meth at the time, but she still did go off on the dude. So,
Yeah,
yes.
it was good. Well, you don't be going into somebody's house, even if it's a whorehouse, beating people up.
That's true.
So,
Got to be respectful.
he deserved every piece of that ass whooping. So.
It's a legitimate business, legitimate business place. You can't be messing around.
Yeah. So,
So okay. So yes. Oh, sorry. Do you want to
I
go?
just say that I like it, but like for some reason, it's scratching my at something in me because it's like to me, she was just like this strong leader. I know what you were saying. She was like barely a strong leader and barely, keeping face for to keep her job as Madam Mayor and blah blah blah. But to me, it just feels like in order to get ratings, they axed Kenya, wanted to keep Julie Benz, and decided to make her like the lovable sex pod and put her in compromised positions and stuff like that. In order for, I don't know, ratings or I'm not sure what, but it just feels like she went from like this really, hero character to just like,
Something a little more trampy. I agree.
and it's just like, oh, that's what women are for. I mean, I know this is not supposed to be feminist TV or anything, and I'm not the first one to cry that, but it just felt like a step down for her character. She's doing it well. I love her. I agree with the costume. It's a great look on her, but it, I don't know.
Oh, well, no, I agree with you in terms of it is disappointing seeing the fall of Amanda that way. I assume, and it seems a little jarring, but sometimes, like I said, the subtlety is not always there. I assume that there is going to be a significant payoff, and she is not unbearable in her new position. I mean, it'd be one thing if they had tramped her up. And the new person that she had become was not interesting. It was just that kind of superficial blandness. But she's kind of dark, and she's going in a place that is interesting.
Well, yeah, because now, I mean, the mayor, Niles Pottinger, he figures out that she's on stims, right?
Yep.
And
What, and how did he find that out?
he's a freaking peeping Tom
Freak! Freak!
webcam in her home, and he has it broadcasting, projected on his wall, and
Yeah,
he's
that's.
watching her like have personal time. You know what I mean? And
Yeah, that's.
shut up.
That was rough right there. He is just.
And he is watching. Just knows everything about her life, and it just made me uncomfortable. Like, I just super hope no one ever has a webcam on me like that because embarrassing.
It's the way to become a star or celebrity. I mean, you just look at Kardashian, look at it. But anyway, but yes, you
Mess
probably don't
want to
want
sing
that.
to our little girls.
No.
But so I he knows that she's on stims. He bought up all of the stim freaking supply in the city so she would run out and come to him and be like beholden to him or yeah beholden to him for the drugs. And he finally got what he wanted, and so she showed up in her best trampy suit asking for the drugs. And this is interesting. Like, what's gonna happen here? She's with Nolan, air quote. Like, I don't know what they have together, but they are bow chicka wow wowing. And this guy wants to possess her. He's already showing an abusive side. He's telling her what to do. He's peeping on her. He's, you know, controlling things behind the scenes, and that's just gonna get worse and worse. And he's gonna like be hitting her soon or something like that.
No good will come of that, but that'll just give Nolan the opportunity to be the superhero that we know he can be, because he's gonna
discussion with him in Berlin, the new character, was epic about Han Solo.
Oh yes, and Berlin's all right. Berlin's all right.
I like her.
Yep.
Like what? She's just this new character that came out of the blue.
Yep.
And I like her almost to girl crush.
Yep. Yeah, she's doing great. Oh. She's doing great. And because we like her, I'm very concerned about her future. Very, very concerned about her future. I like her immensely, and I also think that little love triangle thing that's happening between she and Arissa and what's the guy's name? Tommy. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I don't know how that's gonna go. Because she's all so Arissa had to find out the hard way that they were together, Tommy and Berlin. I do like Berlin was kind of no BS at the beginning, and then she softened up because we learned her backstory. So
well, that was her day job. We saw her at work is what was going on, but she's all business during the day, party in the evening.
Mullet.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Party in the back.
Oh God, Carl, you are wow. So we have a little Michael Corleone thing going on with ALAC. He's not really embracing the Corleone family way, and dad's in jail. Dad has figured out that Stama is most likely keeping him there because she's enjoying the power and controlling things.
He wasn't real happy about that. He when he found out, he seemed a little upset.
A little. I think that's when I became super impressed with the language skills on the show, because he went on this really great rant in another made-up language that was just convincing.
Yep.
It didn't sound like gibberish. It sounded like an actual language, but he pulled
an
it off.
Upset one. Right? Yes, he did.
Yeah,
yes,
he did. And the scene, and because Crazy Doctor Lady, which I can't figure out her name, like, who is she? Ewell, Dr. Ewell.
Oh, yeah, right.
She makes a deal with the mayor for some sort of tests, genetic tests or maybe, or something like that. And she gets out of prison, but the deal she made is she has to have a protector, and that is Detector. So he's getting out of prison.
Yeah,
And
the two of them coming out of jail together was a pretty good scene. I
yeah,
mean, they're just like, yeah, it's on now. See you, suckers. Yeah, they're just walking out there. I was like, okay, yeah, now the pain's about to start. So,
And
yes.
then the scene at the end where Daytag walks into the family bath, which we'll get into in a second, and he just kind of shows up, and Shtama turns and she sees him, and she tries to put on that smarmy smile that she's so good at. He gets in the tub and starts choking her and tries to drown
Well, hang on,
her.
hang on. Can we address the symbolism? Because you're all about, the look and the costume and whatnot. Let's just say having that pristine pool, nice, clean, bath, everybody's porcelain white, and then straight out the prison, all dirty and nasty, just putting his old grimy foot all in the water, just like, Daddy's home, y'all. It was just like, oh no. We knew what was coming. We're just seeing him trying to get in that water. That was not. Didn't everybody want to get out of the pool at that point? Like, oh yeah, it's so good to see you home. Yeah, that was nasty.
Oh my God, that was epic. And she hugged him, and he hugged her. And
Ew.
then he was just like, I'm gonna drown you. And then, like, Alak or Alak or whatever you want to call him, he was just like hitting his dad. It was crazy. And the bath thing with them is so funny. Like, it's the dinner table of their
Little freaky,
culture.
little freaky,
Well,
yes.
no, it's the dinner table of their culture. It's what they do. So it's not freaky for them, but it, like, for us, it's like, what?
Little freaky for us.
And they're just always in there. And why they're not wrinkly, I don't know. But I guess, they stay hydrated, or I don't.
Very, very moist. They're very moist.
And oh my God, that was just a great scene for them to end on. And this is why I'm enjoying Defiant so much, because, like, we've had an actual conversation. The story is actually linear. There's enjoyable things. Things are progressing. Things are happening. The characters are interacting in a way that is meaningful, and I care about it, and I get sucked into this show like some of the shows of old, like Deep Space Nine and Almost Human and all the shows that I really love. I really get pulled into this world because they're not being lazy in the way they make it. No, it may not be absolute best story arrangement, but it's not the worst either, and it's I don't know. I like it. I'm really enjoying it. And it's easy watching. Like, you can't get all philosophical with Defiance. That's not really what it's for,
When I'm
But
watching sci-fi shows or fantasy shows, variety, I give them a lot of slack. Really, I do. The idea is I'm just looking for some kind of potential. If I can see something in the show that is leading someplace or is pointing someplace, or I can see the potential for a story developing, interesting characters, because sometimes it takes a while for some shows for that to happen, I will stick with it. I'll watch it and I'll give it a chance. And Defiance has all of those pieces in place where it's a foundation. Because I know you like it, and I know you like it. You're ready. You're saying it's there already. I'm still not sold on it being there yet, but it absolutely has all of the ingredients.
But
It
in
has all of the
comparison to some
pieces.
of the other stuff, Carl, I mean, it's
What other stuff?
Fallen Skies, Dominion,
You want to
it's.
compare it to those? I don't think that's
What
fair.
else
I
is
mean,
on,
just
though? What else do we have to compare it to as far as science fiction?
I'm just
Like,
talking
what
about
else is on?
I'm just talking about in the history of shows. I don't want
Well,
to
in the
pick
history of
just what's
shows, I
out now.
mean,
Because,
we're
okay,
not,
so,
well, we gotta compare it to what it's surrounded by. I mean, we can't compare it to, like, freaking, I don't know, Farscape or any. Well, I mean, we could, but it's not that.
No, it's not that. But I would compare it to early Babylon 5. That's what I mean, where sometimes it takes a show a little longer to get started, but then
Babylon
the
5 was way deeper, though. It was way.
it got deeper in the beginning, a little bit rickety, but
I haven't done a rewatch in a while, so I
Yeah,
said on
I can't do season one of Babylon 5. I can't do season one. I know people up in uproar, but in my opinion, Babylon 5.
DS9 either. I can't. I did a rewatch and I just skipped season one.
Yeah, that is kind of rough too. Yeah. Yeah, that is a rough one.
Oh,
But
witches were horses. Man, that's my worst episode. I can't do it.
so all I'm saying is, it's got I see it's got a lot of potential, and I will continue to watch. I will absolutely continue to watch. Defiance
It's
is,
really, the potential is already there. It's already
yeah,
there. It's already
yeah.
there.
Keep it coming. Just keep going there. Keep going.
Oh, Carl.
That's old yet. That's old.
What?
That's old yet, but it's building nicely. I will continue to watch.
Whatever. We just had a really good conversation about that, and you're not sold.
It's got these are the pieces that I'm enjoying.
Okay, but that's everything. Like, we talked about the whole thing.
Well, there's plenty of other stuff. There are tons of characters that we left out because perhaps, I mean, okay, here's a shining example. What did we say about Arisa?
We talked about her whole thing and what was going on with her.
That was the background, the whole first season and everything, but I'm looking for a little bit more from her in this season. A little bit more from her. I.
We didn't mention Rafe and Christy, and Christy's pregnant because we don't care. I mean, they're, I mean.
It's not that we don't care. It's just, and by the way, I like Rafe. I want to see more Rafe. I think he's an interesting character.
He is.
We just haven't seen a lot of what's going on with him.
He's a
So,
real dad too. You see how he
definitely.
threatened Alack?
He ain't playing. He ain't playing.
You hurt my daughter. It's on. I got the
Yep.
shotgun.
Yep.
I was
He
just
really
like, that's
does
a
have a
dad.
gun. You
That's a
can tell.
dad right there.
And he's one of them crazy dads.
Yeah.
You be like, I don't know if I want to mess with this girl. Your dad crazy.
No, you're supposed to like her even more if dad's like that. That's like, oh, she's the jewel, you know?
No. That's not
Are
how
you a
it
coward,
works.
Carl? You gotta.
That's not
Fortune
how it
favors the
works.
bold, sir.
No, that's not how it works. No. No. The way it works is she's got to be crazy fine enough to put up with a crazy dad. Not that because the dad is crazy, I want to value her more. That's not quite how it works. That's not how it works.
Well, I'm telling you how it's supposed to work, and you're
Ah,
telling me like
how it
convenient
is.
stuff.
I'll tell you how it is.
It's just not quite how it's got to be a little bit more valiant than that, sir. Yeah.
Maybe to change my mind. Dad with a shotgun. I don't think I'd be sneaking in the window. It'd be like, girl, you text me.
That's rude. That's super rude. Okay, so I agree that I do not really want to watch Dominion again. We will not unless somebody said, "Oh, girl, you don't know what you." But people say that about like Game of Thrones and Fallen Skies
It's
and.
gotta be more than one person, by the way. So I can't just be one guy going, I believe it is the epic sci-fi of our time. No. We don't need a vote here. It's gonna have to be more than one person. But we
Okay.
are open. We are open. You gotta tell us when
I
it
don't
gets
know, man, because
when it, let us
like
know.
the thing with Claire and the vehicle at one point and then back, that I can't. I can't cope. I can't go back from that. I can't.
Maybe we just blacked out on
I
something.
don't
Something
think
we must
so
have missed
because
something.
when I said it and you were like, "Oh yeah," I was just like, "See."
Maybe he pushed her out during the commercial break, and we just didn't know. I'm just trying to help him. I'm trying to give him a chance.
Okay. Well, that's enough of these. So, 'cause Carl's eating now and we need to take a break. So,
In the world, I am not eating.
you smacking lips on something, sir.
I'm saying lips on the craziness of what we're going through. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, that's what that is. So, we're gonna wrap this one up. We'd love your feedback. Let us know what you think of Defiance and Dominion. You can give us a call. We have a voicemail, 773-336-2686. We also have a website called scifipartyline.com where you can leave messages. We are also on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
And particularly if you have any questions about statistics, let Kat know. She will master. She's a master now. She will help you.
I don't even know why I tolerate you as a person anymore.
Yeah.
I do not know why I try with you.
Just send her your homework. She will do it.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy this show. We're at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Evil. You are just a person. I don't even know why I deal with you anymore.
I'm just trying to get your fans. They are ready. They want to connect with you.
I was super traumatized by statistics.
End of line.